Good morning to all of you. I'll ask you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Being first has a lot of good points, has a few bad points, too. I won't go over the bad points. It's good because I can preach on that text and not be copying anyone. I don't know how many other sermons are going to be on that text. If we were playing a sport game, a game of ball, although preaching is much more than that. Sometimes it's fun, but it's much more than a game. But if I had the ball, I guess it's I have the ball right now, and what I do with it doesn't matter too much. I can just hand it to Pastor Western when I'm done. That's one of the good points. But God spoke to me about this being filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to share that with you. We'll just look at the one verse this morning. Before we do, let me just say that we are going back to the States on furlough next week. We've got a big container sitting in front of my house right now getting filled up with our belongings. It's going into storage. We are returning to base out of Heritage Baptist Church in Woodbridge, Virginia. Looking forward to seeing my preacher and a lot of my friends. It's where Marie and I, we graduated from Bible college and then moved into that church. There in Woodbridge, Virginia, and we spent 6 years there on the church and school staff. Would have been very content to stay there all of our lives till the Lord returned or till He took us home. But one thing kept interfering with our contentment in that ministry, and that was these pesky missionaries kept coming through about one or two every month preaching and showing other places where you could serve the Lord. And many times my wife and I said, we wish there were two of us. I mean, there are two of us. But we wished we could stay there and we could go somewhere else and serve the Lord. And we had all kinds of grand ideas about where we would go and maybe serve the Lord. And to make the long story short, a missionary by the name of Larry Harris came through. And we had just made the decision that the Lord had been burdening us for 3 years about missions and didn't show us where. So I said to Marie, I said, honey, we're not going to go anywhere as missionaries. We're going to stay right here. But we're going to promote it in our classes and in our Christian school classes and with our children and with our Sunday school children. And we're going to save up and maybe every other holiday. We went on holiday once a year there. And we called it a vacation. Some of you who aren't familiar with those Yank terms. Maybe every other year we would go visit a nearby missionary. And we would write letters and give more financially. And my wife said, honey, that's fine. If you feel that's what the Lord leads, then I'm going with you. I mean, I'm going to do that with you. So we said, okay, that's settled. We're staying here. And I'd never thought of Australia. To me, Australia was a little island, and I had seen Jim Craig on a rendition of Banjo Patterson's The Man from Snowy River. I saw a film where Jim Craig got on his horse and rode across a mountain range. I thought he got on the East Coast and came off the other end on the West Coast. I thought that was Australia. That's all I knew about Australia. I thought there were pygmies here. I had the wrong continent, wrong hemisphere and everything. I guess I knew about kangaroos being here, but didn't think much about Australia and how the Lord would change that. During that message, the Lord spoke to me very clearly, the Holy Spirit. By the way, we'll see this morning, the Holy Spirit is the Lord. It's God the Spirit. God the Spirit spoke to my heart and said, this is where I want you to serve me. Australia. And I was just awestruck that God would speak to me and reveal that to me. I was humbled. If you've had the Lord speak something to you and reveal something to you, it wasn't an audible voice, but I knew Australia was where I needed to go. I was just dumbfounded that God would reveal it to me and use me and take me to this little island, you know, that I didn't know much about. But then that was frightening in itself to know that the Lord wants to use you and take you somewhere. But then a more pressing frightening thought hit me, and that is I just told my wife we're going to stay put. And now the Lord's leading us to Australia. I said, well, Lord, how am I going to get through this first hurdle? And at that point, my wife leaned over to me and said, honey, I think God is calling us to Australia. I said, whew. Now, many people ask me, what if he hadn't called you? And, or didn't reveal it to me. And now my wife said that. We don't have to worry about that because that's not how it happened. God led us here, and we arrived in 1997 and spent 4 years down in Nowra and at Shoalhaven Baptist Church. And then we came up to Sydney, and there's a young lady named Kathleen Hester threw a lasso around me as soon as she found out that I had taught grammar for a number of years. And that was 10 years ago. I began teaching at Sydney Bible Baptist College. I've enjoyed every year that I've been there. Some teachers are blessed to come and teach a semester of one class every year. I get blessed to teach two semesters every year. Some are on a rotating basis. They come in every other year. I'm there every year, and it's been a blessing. I get to work with people like Brother Mario, people like Pastor Sam Jukadar. Get to work with all the lecturers that the students talk about. I get to work with the students. What a blessing that is, to try to put something that God has given you and moved you with and blessed you with, and to try to teach it to students who want to learn. And by the way, to try to fit that into a grammar class is a feat. To try to open up the Bible when we're supposed to be opening up a grammar book. But I'll let the students decide what we looked at more, grammar or Bible. But had a wonderful time these 10 years. Great students that have been a blessing to me, a great faculty. What a blessing when Brother Ringwalt came on board. I don't know if that was 3 years ago or 7 years ago, but what a blessing when he came on. And it's truly been an honor of mine and my wife to be able to serve there in bits and pieces throughout the years. We love Australia. We love the college. We love this church. We love all the churches represented here. We will be gone for about a year. We're looking forward to coming back and excited about coming back. We're like boomerangs, okay? We're going, but we're coming back. And pray for us while we're away. I'll do my best to keep in touch with you and let you know what's happening. But we love this country. We love this college. And there may be... Is Brother Brad here right now? No, good. He's filling in for me next year. We don't know if he's filling in or taking over, but we'll see how the Lord leads. And I know he'll lead just as he's led at every other stage in my life, and he'll do the same for you. Filled with the Spirit. We're told in verse 18 of Ephesians 5, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The word filled there is plerao, and it means to make replete. Now I have to look that word up to figure out what that means. Don't you love it when you look up a word and it gives you definitions you don't understand? To make replete, or to cram full, or to level up. Okay. I can understand it. That's usually what we think of with the word. By the way, when you learn the Greek and you try to learn the Hebrew, I've learned a little bit of Greek, never attempted the Hebrew. But generally, when you learn what the words mean in the original language, it's what it is translated in our King James Bible into English. It's generally what you learn. Replete, cram full. That made me think of a lot of students and a lot of exams. Level up. But it also means to be sated. There's another word I had to look up. I saw it briefly and I wrote down satisfied. And I said, wait a minute, there's too many letters there. So I looked up this word sated and it means satisfied. Must have been an Aussie that came up with that definition and just shortened it, right? To be complete. I paused and I mused a bit on that. I did one of those silas, right? You know, thought about it. There's the idea in this verse of not being able to hold anymore. You're just crammed full, level up to here with the Holy Spirit. You're replete with the Holy Spirit. It implies, however, that we can be less than full of the Holy Spirit. Is that what's being talked about here? Now, I'll let the other preachers this week deal with that question. I want to look at the second idea. This idea of not wanting anything else. Being sated or satisfied or complete with the Holy Spirit. I want to look at that viewpoint, that angle this morning for a few moments. Could be illustrated by the wonderful meal that we enjoyed last night. Probably we were filled, crammed full, level up. But also, we were sated, satisfied, to where we needed no more. I asked you this morning, are you filled with the Spirit? Are you satisfied with Him? Does He complete you? Or do you want something else beside? Let's pray and then we'll look at this idea of being filled with the Spirit. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would direct our hearts this morning through Your Word. Holy Spirit, as we look at You and Your work and how we are commanded to be filled by You and with You, I pray that we'd come to understand some things and be convicted, be taught, challenged, that we would make the changes that You would want. Or that we would continue to do the things that You've already led us to do. I pray that Your will would be known and would be obeyed this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit. I want to look at three thoughts. The benefits of having the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Spirit. Then I want to look at some dangers regarding being filled with the Spirit. And then I want to look at how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. First of all, the benefits of having or being filled with the Spirit. Number one, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit at salvation. We all know this, Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I love reading the King James Bible. Could stop right there, but the sentence, to finish the sentence, I love reading the King James Bible where we read the word Spirit with a capital S. Because there's a lot of spirits in the world. There's a lot of spirits in the Bible, but when you have a capital S, it's the Lord God, the Holy Spirit. And He is our Holy Spirit of promise. We're sealed with Him at salvation. Number two, you and I are a habitation of God, a dwelling place of God. We could park on that all day. A dwelling. Did you know all throughout the Scriptures, God wanted and wants and desires to dwell with His people? From the garden walks with Adam and Eve all the way to the New Jerusalem, He wants to be near His people. In the Old Testament, the setup of the camp of Israel, the Levites, the closeness of God, the proximity of God, coming into the New Testament where He wants to dwell in us. What a blessed thought. We are a habitation of God through the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 2:22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Number three, another blessing of being filled with the Spirit, having the Spirit, and it ought to complete us and satisfy us and sate us. Your inner man can be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. More and more, I'm glad that there's an inner man in my life, because the outer man is slowly, very slowly, but surely wearing down. The inner man your inner man. And by the way, no matter how young and strong you are, you have an inner man that in the outside, no matter how strong you are and young on the outside, you have an inner man that must be strengthened. And it's more important to have your inner man strengthened than the outer man, the body. Your inner man can be strengthened by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. When God, who is all-powerful, talks about might, I think we ought to take heed to it, and it's something significant. God can make you and me, our inner man, mighty. And we need to cling to that and remember that, and we need to be filled with the Spirit and recognize that benefit and seek to have it exemplified and seen in our lives. Number four, the Holy Spirit can keep us at peace and in unity one with another. Now, that may be getting harder and harder in the day that we live and the time that we live in. But Ephesians 4:3 tells us, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's one of the benefits of being filled with the Spirit. Number five, the Holy Spirit gives you fruit. Ephesians 5:9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Of course, we know verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And by the way, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's kind of like we get all of them at one time. So we ought not to be seeking, I have that one, I have that one. And I have, okay, that's it. I have those two. No, it's the fruit of the Spirit. We ought to be exemplifying all of these. Number six, you can use the Holy Spirit's offensive weapon. Do you know that? Ephesians 6:17. Take the helmet of salvation. Got that. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How well do you know the Word of God? How sharp are you with it, or how well are you able to wield its sharpness? Really, all you got to do is just kind of hold it out and let it do its work. But that's the offensive weapon of the Holy Spirit. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Another benefit of being filled with the Spirit, you can pray in the Spirit. You can pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I wonder how often our prayers are directed by the Holy Spirit. I wonder how often we seek to commune with the Holy Spirit in our prayers and let Him direct our thoughts. Sometimes He doesn't want Aunt Gertrude to be healed. Sometimes He doesn't want our blessed parents or grandparents or siblings or other loved ones to be healed. Sometimes He wants to take them home to be with Him. And we're selfishly saying, heal them, you know, give doctors wisdom. And I'm not saying that these are bad prayers, but we ought to seek to pray in the Spirit. And it ought to almost always be, thy will be done. Especially as we don't know it. Romans 8:26 and 27. And I'll just touch on this, but what a powerful truth here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Got any infirmities? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Is that really in the Bible, Brother Hall? But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's a deep couple of verses. Does that mean when I pray off this way, the Holy Spirit is, Father, this is what He really meant. When I go down this trail, the Holy Spirit says, whoa, that's way out there. Brings it back in. It's a powerful set of verses. Makes me think, when I'm thinking of these verses, I think ahead in my prayers. What does God want here? Lord, what do You want? And I think I'm learning to pray as I'm asking the Lord what He wants me to pray. Wow. Number 8, the Holy Spirit leads you to witness. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Number 9, you can sow and reap in the Spirit. Galatians 6:8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And number 10, and this is not an exhaustive list, but we'll finish here. The Holy Spirit enables and empowers Christians for service. All throughout 1 Corinthians 12, you can read this. The enabling and empowering and gifting of the Holy Spirit. In Zechariah 4:6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So these are benefits of being filled with the Spirit. Secondly, now I want to look at a couple of warnings. A little bit more than that, but some warnings regarding being filled with the Holy Spirit. First of all, did you know that you can grieve the Holy Spirit? Now, I know we have to be careful in thinking of terms of how we can hurt God. Let's go ahead and get the most powerful device that man has ever used or thought of or knows or has. Is that going to hurt God? It's nothing to him. But God's Word says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit, make him sad. I get concerned about the fact that, I mean, by the way, that moves me. If I can make God sad, that doesn't tell me, wow, I've got a great, you know, ability. That says, makes me want to say, shame on me. I don't ever want to make my God sad. But there's another factor there is I can also make him angry. You know, when his anger is kindled but a little. I used to think that kindling was the small stuff to start a fire. So if God's anger was kindled, that meant it was just a little bit. It's not what it means. It means it's like been ignited. The fire is going to roar. The cannon is going to shoot. Hey, I can grieve the Holy Spirit. So can you. Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The word grieve is lupeo, and it means to be sad or cause distress. You know what happens when we do that? Again, we're in danger of angering our God, but it also means that now we've got to, it requires more filling, more repentance, more turning to God, more humbling, more confession, work and effort to get back where we were. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. There's a warning there. Let's not grieve. It's a command to us in Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Number 2, you can quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. The word quench is a hard one to pronounce. It's a hard one to read. Sbenumi. S-B-E-N. Sbenumi. Or sbenumi. And it means to extinguish. By the way, if Pastor Sam were up here reading these words, he'd get them correct. He'd pronounce them correctly, and it'd be probably a little different, differently. He'd be speaking them, quoting them, pronouncing them differently from me. But it means to extinguish, as in putting out a fire. Who would want to extinguish or put out or make smaller all the blessings of the Holy Spirit that we can enjoy when we're filled with Him? We can do that, and that's a danger, and that's something to be warned against. It requires, again, more filling, more effort to get right and get back to where we once were and where we ought to be. I have a used car, a Subaru, that needed some AC refrigerant, whatever they use on it now, the air conditioning refrigerant. So we put that in, and it just felt so good for about 2 weeks. And then it stopped working. I mean, the air was blowing, but it wasn't refrigerating me like I wanted. So I took it back in, and the mechanic had put a dye in it to show me that if it did leak, where it leaked, or to show him, because I looked out on the engine. I didn't see any dye anywhere, but I know the refrigerant wasn't there anymore. So I took it in. I said, I don't see your dye. He said, you have to use my special light. I said, oh, is he telling the truth or my special light? He got an ultraviolet light there and aimed it there, and you could see where it was all, or he could see where it was. I didn't look with him. He said, you need a new compressor. I said, okay, what's that going to cost me? He said, oh, about $1,600. Well, we ended up getting it for $100, which was great. It wasn't brand new, but it's there and it's working. And the point I'm illustrating here is that the refrigerant leaked out. It was gone. And it needed to be it needed to be refilled. Now, we don't lose the Holy Spirit. He seals us. We're sealed by Him. Praise the Lord for that. But His power, His influence, His blessings upon us, His leading kind of leaks out and gets quenched as we grieve Him, as we disobey Him, as we ignore Him, or as we get filled with other things. And we kind of need the light of God's Word, special light, to show us that there's been some leaking taking place, and then we need to get recharged up. Praise the Lord that we can get recharged up easily. And we'll look at that in a moment when we look at how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, just getting into His Word. He wrote this book. Coming to a church service and singing and having fellowship and hearing preaching. These are ways we can be filled again with the Spirit and walk closely with Him. But we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. And we can have excess in something other than the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. I don't want to have anything that is in place of the Holy Spirit or God in my life. Anything that replaces God or fills us instead of God is excess. We need to get rid of it. We need to remove it. Number four, God wants nothing else to fill you. He wants to fill you. You can have loves. You can have things. He wants you to love others. He wants you to love a spouse, family members, neighbors. He even wants you to love your enemies. But He doesn't want anything to fill you other than Himself. Don't be filled with sinful thoughts and actions. Just a few of them. Fear, anger, doubt, greed, lust. How many times can a human being get filled with and possessed by these things? Where's the Holy Spirit then? If it's a lost person, then they're not listening to the Holy Spirit anymore and they're as far away from salvation as possible. If it's a believer, one who has the Holy Spirit indwelling already, fear, doubt, greed, anger, lust, the Holy Spirit just occupies a very small corner of that habitation of God that is in us. And He doesn't want anything else to fill us. He wants to fill us. Don't be filled with sinful thoughts and actions, and don't be filled with good things that exclude or crowd out or push into a corner the Holy Spirit of God. I'm talking about sport. Sport is good. But if you find yourself getting more excited about sport than about the things of God, you better put sport on a lower rung and elevate God and His Holy Spirit more highly. Food, hobbies, recreation, leisure, these things, God doesn't want us to be filled with them. He wants us to enjoy them, but not to be filled with them. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number three, you find that you're not filled with the Spirit. You're not completely satisfied with Him. You're not sated by Him and His ministry. His ministry isn't showing up in your life as it used to. You've got to be recharged. You've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got to give Him more. You've got to let Him have more of His way in your life. How to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or how to show that you are filled, sated, and complete in the Holy Spirit. Number one, be saved. You've got to be saved. If there's someone here this morning who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you can't possibly understand the things that I'm talking about, the things that any preacher talks about regarding the Christian life. You say, oh, I know what Christianity is. I have some Christian friends. You can't possibly understand it personally yourself. until you have the Holy Spirit in you helping you. You're what the Bible calls a natural person. And only a spiritual person can fully understand it. And that's not to say that we're better than you. Christians are no better than lost people. They've just been saved by a great and merciful God. And He wants to save every lost person. If there's someone here who's not saved, He wants to save you. And you can take care of that this morning. You can take care of that right now. You can call out to God for salvation from your sin and from the hell that it's taking you to. Be saved, and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? That's for every believer. Number two, understand the Holy Spirit. Who He is, what He does, His ministry. Take your Bible and start looking up every verse that has the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost in it. Understand that He's a person. He is God, the Spirit. He indwells you. And He has a ministry in prayer and in leadership and directing and convicting. Know that. Understand that. And you can be more filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can allow the world to see that you have God the Spirit dwelling in you. Number three, give more of yourself to the Holy Spirit. Just give yourself to Him. And that's probably a simplistic way of looking at it, but that's how I used to look at this verse, this idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean get more of Him. It means give Him more of me. When I get saved, He comes in, and not half of Him, not part of Him. He comes in. And as I yield and as I grow and as I mature and sacrifice and obey and follow and grow in the Spirit and in the Lord, it's not more of Him that enters me, but it's more of His power showing up in my life, more of His leading. And we need to give more of ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Number four, we need to sow to the Spirit. Galatians 6:8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You may sow to the flesh and reap some benefits temporarily. But what you need to do is look at the long term. It's just going to fade. It's going to rust. It's going to corrode and be corrupt. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Practice sowing to the Spirit. Investing in spiritual things, what He wants you to do. Feed and nurture your relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's your relationship with God is what we're talking about. Romans 13:14 says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Hey, don't make provision for the flesh. Don't allow situations or habits or events in your life that feed the flesh, that provide for the flesh, that give it a stronghold. Look for opportunities, places, events, functions, habits that provide for the Holy Spirit to have more access to your life and your thoughts and your heart. Feed and nurture your relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen to His still, small voice. If God hasn't spoken to you about something, anything recently, given you assurance, given you a peace, convicted you. By the way, when God stomps on your toe or your heart or really makes you feel bad and convicts you and thank God for that. That the Creator of the universe would stoop down to your level is a great honor. When God speaks to me and says, no, instead of saying, oh, why not? I should say, it's great that He's speaking to me, that He's revealing something to me. And if He challenges you to do something scary, praise the Lord for that, because He'll go with you all the way. Listen to His still small voice. Walk with Him. Talk to Him. That's all under sowing to the Spirit. Number five, pray in the Spirit. We looked at it already, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to help you in your prayer life. Do it regularly. Do it every time you pray. And I think there'll be a difference in our prayers if we would do that. how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or how to show others that you are filled, that you're complete, that you're satisfied with the Holy Spirit. Number six, get in your Bible. Read it, study it, learn it, summarize each book, each chapter. Look at the stages of God's working with people. Get to know the characters in the Bible, the events in the Bible. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you know doctrine, if you know Bible truth, you know exactly how to wield that powerful weapon, the Word of God, to be used to the honor and glory of God. Get in your Bible. Number seven, make room for the Holy Spirit. If your life is too filled, too cluttered with events and activities, and not many of them have spiritual tags on them, then change your lifestyle. Change your life. Get rid of some other things. Don't be filled with other things. I think God is jealous. I think God, the Holy Spirit, is jealous when we allow our lives to be filled up with something other than Him. God wants nothing else to fill us than His Holy Spirit. Number eight, love and adore God, the Holy Spirit, just as you do God, the Father, and God, the Son. They are one and the same, and they are three in one. And I won't go any farther than that. God, the Holy Spirit. You're not blaspheming or sacrilegious to look at the Holy Spirit as God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Praise Him. Worship Him. Number nine, you can be filled with the Spirit by listening to preaching. By preaching. Sometimes I want to pray in the middle of my sermon and get right with God at something I'm preaching. Preach it. 1 Corinthians 2:4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Number 10. We can be filled with the Spirit by fellowshipping in unity. Philippians 2, 1 and 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You could read on the next few verses and receive more instruction on that thought. But that's a way to show that you're filled with the Spirit. That's a way to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There are times to separate. There are times to break fellowship. But we'd better be very careful that we're doing it because the Holy Spirit wants it and not because we want it. Number 11, faithful church attendance, faithful giving, and other acts of service for the Lord, done asking Him for His blessing and His strength. We're doing what He's told us to do. We're inviting Him to come and fill us. I think He's already ahead of us. He's already there prompting us and motivating us to do it in the first place. But that's a way to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and see it evident when you're sitting around doing nothing. When you're engaging in secular or even sinful activities. You're going to start wondering if you have a Holy Spirit. You're going to start wondering if you're even saved. It's not God's fault. It's our fault when we feel that way. And number 12, witnessing. You get out and you talk to someone about the Lord. You start telling them how wonderful God is. You tell them how great a Savior we have, how great a Creator we have. Start telling them how great a Holy Spirit we have. Now, I'll tell you what, probably more than ever, people will think, whoa. But why not? Do you have a great God, a great Creator, a great God the Father? Amen. You have a great Savior, a great Lord Jesus Christ coming again as the Messiah? Amen. Do you have a great Holy Spirit, God the Spirit? Tell people about it. Let people know about it. When He comes in us, just as He did back in Acts 1:8, we receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. Hey, that's among other things, that's just local. Right here. Right at church. Look for some lost person who's visiting and be a witness. Be a witness to a brother or sister in the Lord who needs your testimony and your witness to them. In Judea, in Samaria, the Samaritans, I don't want to witness to them. They're sinners. Like we're not, right? And the uttermost part of the earth. I can't go anywhere else. I'm happy here. You'll be happier where God leads you. Especially if you're witnessing for Him. That's the last thing I have there. That's the 12th thing. There's more. I encourage you to study more about this being filled with the Spirit. Look in God's Word about the Spirit. We see we're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We see there are great benefits at being filled with the Holy Spirit. We see there's a few warnings about being filled with the Holy Spirit. He's presented as a dove. It's very easy to not to chase Him away, but to become distant from Him by our thoughts and our actions. And then there's wonderful truths about how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and how we can show to others that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And be not drunk with wine or anything else wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Thank you and God bless you.